episode 38.
Yes.
And we are in Borderlands Cafe on Valencia in the Mission of San Francisco. We have a very exciting interview coming up.
Yes, we do.
I think Jordan should do the honors since she coordinated it.
You flatter me. So today we're sitting here, we're waiting for Reese, the author of Let the Meat Block.
Let them eat meat.
I didn't actually mean to say it that way, but I think that's how I'm going to refer to it from here on
Let
in.
The meat.
Yeah. We're gonna talk to him about some things, and if he ever shows up, and hopefully it will
be 9 minutes late.
Hopefully it will be enjoyable for everybody involved.
Yes. We look forward to a very enlightening interview.
Right. Enlightening.
So we're here now with Reese from Let Them Eat Meat, and I guess to start off, just tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from, what you do.
I grew up in Irving, Texas, and then I moved to Richardson, Texas. I went to school at the University of Texas at Austin, where I studied film. Then I moved to New York for a while, and at the moment I'm kind of in between places, but I was living in Richardson again, and now I'm moving to Los Angeles. And
nice. So when do you plan on arriving in LA?
The 24th. Saturday.
But
it's kind of a weird move, though. I'm just staying with a friend who has an extra room, and I can probably stay there indefinitely, but she was saying that she might want me to leave when she goes out of town.
That's a little odd.
Yeah. So it might not be a very viable living arrangement, so we'll see. But, if I get a job there, then I'll probably find a place.
Yeah. Cool. Now's a good time to be apartment hunting. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, hey, if you studied film, you'll probably have good luck getting a job in L.A.
Yeah, hopefully. For some reason, I don't like getting film jobs. I like screenwriting, and that's what I want to do. But I don't want to work as a PA or anything like that.
That's completely understandable.
Well, you know, there's always lots of jobs in LA in the burgeoning adult industry.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind.
My husband worked as a photo editor for AVN, Adult Video News, for many years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that in the Valley?
I believe so. I don't know LA that well, but yeah, I think so.
So what's your genre of choice?
I used to think I used to think comedy, and I guess it still kind of is, but probably be mixed genres. Like the last thing I wrote was a horror, but also kind of a comedy, kind of a drama, but I guess satire.
Yeah,
I like satire. So I've written short films. I've done some documentary stuff, and I was vegan.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I'm here.
Yes.
And then I was an ex-vegan.
Yeah.
And that's probably really why.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have some stupid fluff questions.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
Are you a cat or a dog person?
I guess...
Or a bird person or a lizard person?
I was a bird person.
Oh, okay.
And so for a while I was really... anti-cats, because one of my birds was mauled by a cat. He was just like, I don't know, a cat jumped into our backyard, the bird was in the tree, and it mauled the bird and ran away. And so, oh, and also, as a kid, this is before I ever had a pet, I was kind of obsessed with birds, and there was a bird in our backyard, so I was like chasing it, trying to catch it, and then I went to the next yard where there was a dog, and the dog ate the bird, and
oh my God.
So I was pretty traumatized.
I've never heard of a bird-eating dog. Was it like
they'll probably eat anything that moves.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe all the dogs that I've known have been clumsy and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really big dog. I don't know what kind. But now I guess I would say... I guess dog person. I don't know. But I could go either. It depends on the... I like some cats a lot. I like some dogs a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next fluff question is okay. Is about music, and what is your favorite band, which is, we know, a terrible question, and what genres of music do you enjoy?
For some reason I have real trouble with this question.
Everybody who actually likes music does.
Yeah. It's funny, when you ask my favorite band, the first band that pops in my head is a band that I don't even listen to anymore, and I don't like that much anymore, but Air. I used to always say that they were my favorite band. I mean, I still like them, but I never listened to them. I like the band Little Jackie. It's like a kind of hip-hop band from Brooklyn. I like hip-hop. I like indie rock.
Who doesn't, really?
Yeah, I like good country music.
Like old country or modern country?
Old.
Okay, good. That's the correct answer.
Yeah.
Hey, you're in the minority here. We're both from like western places.
You've been to Sonoma County. It's pretty rural.
It's,
up there.
Yeah, but it's not quite
it's
the
like
same as Alberta or Texas.
Lesbians versus dairy farmers.
Well, true, but Texas and Alberta, they're
Regina Spector, another person.
I was hoping you'd say something either that I loved or that I hated, but you've said a bunch of things that I'm fairly neutral on or that I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a big hip-hop person, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad hip-hop, but I really like good hip-hop.
I like good stuff too, but I always feel really self-conscious listening to it. Like, I'm not funky enough for it.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I mean, I probably am by myself most of the time when I listen to it.
I feel embarrassed even by myself.
Hates black people. Next question.
In conclusion, pardon me.
So, you've been visiting San Francisco, and your brother lives here. So, tell us a little bit about what you've seen, what you plan to see, what you really liked that you've experienced here.
And if there's anything you've hated.
Yes.
Well, I've mainly been driving my mom around to go shopping. We've just done whatever she wants to do.
Okay.
Today we went to Fisherman's Wharf, but we didn't even really see the wharf. Uh-huh. She just wanted to go shopping in that area. I like San Francisco. I don't think I could ever think of it as home, but I bet's the case with most cities. I lived in New York for a while. I never thought of it as home, and I certainly don't think of Richardson, Texas as home. Probably Austin would be the closest, but I don't think I like how hilly it is. It just seems kind of absurd. I don't know. It just seems like...
It is pretty absurd.
Yeah.
Topography.
Geography.
And
geology.
Just like walking by people, I interact with people more than I would... Or they interact with me more than I would like to interact with strangers. Just like, it seems very extroverted here.
It's, you know, that's something I hear a bit from visitors is like, people are so outgoing here. People are so friendly here. I guess I don't notice it because, you know, I grew up around here, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I could also see really loving it. I guess I'm pretty... anytime I visit a new city, I'm pretty opposed to it for some reason. I don't know why. But actually, usually it's a good sign. Because if I like somewhere right away, I usually won't end up liking it.
Yeah, you get burnt out on it pretty quickly.
So, if it has to grow on me, then there's hope for it.
Huh.
Good.
That's interesting. Well, maybe you should move to Utah like you were thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now we get to the nitty-gritty.
Right.
Roll up our shirt sleeves.
Right. The gotcha journalism.
Yeah.
Get ready for it.
So, you mentioned that, and I'm sure anybody listening probably knows who you are. You are the...
Meet guy.
The guy that writes the ex-vegan guy that writes the blog. So to start out, when did you first go vegan and why did you go vegan?
First I was vegetarian for a year. My first year in community college, I went vegetarian. And that was right before I transferred to UT. Then when I transferred to UT, I'd already been kind of going without cheese for a while. And I just started to think, well, I'm basically vegan. It's the next logical step. I'll go vegan. But the thing that preceded this was I had a lot of vegan friends in high school who kind of planted the seed.
Uh-huh.
And I would argue with them, and I would be the typical defensive omnivore,
right.
having very lame arguments for whatever they were saying. And so it kind of made me see that maybe there's something wrong with my position. And I started to think, meat is murder, but I would still kind of eat meat and while thinking this. And but then I went vegetarian and then vegan, I guess, mainly because of these friends. Because when I went to college, I didn't end up meeting any other vegans, at least not right away, until I moved into a vegetarian co-op. Then I met some.
I guess that'd be a good place to meet vegetarians.
Yeah. it was for ethical reasons. But then after I was vegan for a while, I started to think that it was healthy too. So I got into the health aspects, and that's when I kind of got into the macrobiotic sort of thing. I read Sugar Blues by William Duffy.
Okay.
I haven't read that one.
It's a very bizarre anti-sugar book.
The anti-sugar thing, I don't know about that.
Well, I was
understand it to a point, but
yeah.
I love my sugar.
Before I became vegetarian, I was actually anti-sugar. In high school, I gave up soda and then desserts.
Huh.
And so Sugar Blues was seemed right to me, even though it was clearly written by a pretty crazy person.
Right.
It still fit with what I already believed. So I was like, well, he's obviously a little insane, but he's right. So.
I imagine that a lot of people probably think that about Dr. Mercola now.
Yeah, I haven't been following him too much. I know he's against agave nectar or something.
Yeah, he's against a lot of things. Though now all of them are escaping me. He's kind of one of those, change your diet, cure your cancer kind of guys.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
So how long were you vegan?
I was vegan for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
And vegetarian for 1 year before that.
Okay. So I know 9 years is a pretty long span to kind of sum up, but how would you describe your vegan self? Or if you went through different vegan phases, what kind of phases did you go through? Were you the crazy fruitarian vegan that wouldn't wear shoes, or
right.
Were you the cheater vegan that ate stuff with whey in it, or
No, I was never a cheater vegan, and it seems weird to me when there are cheater vegans, and I hear about them, because someone emailed me and she said that she knew two vegans in college, and both of them would sneak away, and she'd see them eat pizza separately because they didn't want the other one to know that they were cheating.
Oh, God.
It just doesn't make sense from my experience because, you're not vegan to impress other people, at least. I think most vegans aren't.
Yeah, so, some are.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I would say I started off a really unhealthy vegan because I was living in the dorms where there just wasn't vegan food.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So my diet was just terrible. It was Cheerios and lettuce with peanut butter and TVP burgers and not much else. So I don't know what that would be. I guess that would be the junk food vegan, even though I wasn't trying to be a junk food vegan.
Right.
It was just the situation. And then when I moved into the co-op, I became a healthier vegan, and that kind of led into the macrobiotics, not right away. Then I would say I was kind of a quasi-macrobiotic vegan for the rest of my veganism, although I kind of flirted with raw foods a little bit. I worked at a raw food restaurant for a couple of weeks, and I always kind of thought raw foods is probably healthy, but it seemed too expensive to do because it's just...
It is.
Yeah, incredibly expensive, especially if you go to Cafe Gratitude a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, I worked at a couple of macrobiotic restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never totally into the yin and yang thing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't totally ban nightshades. But I did go on a brown rice fast when I first started.
Okay.
I ate for 10 days nothing but brown rice.
Wow. How was that?
My hair started falling out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is that like a certain... I don't want to say prescribed because that's the wrong word, but is that like a known fast that people do, or is it just something you kind of came up with yourself?
It's in the book You Are All Sampaku by George Asawa. He's the main macrobiotic guy.
Okay.
It basically, the goal of macrobiotics is to get yourself to a point where you can basically live on brown rice alone, right?
Yeah. That's what he said. That's the ideal. And someone actually tried to do that and, of course, died eventually of malnutrition.
Excellent.
Right.
Way to go.
The brown rice myth.
Yes.
exploded. You heard it here first.
Yes.
Actually, I had a supplemental question. Like,
sure.
Do you cook a lot? Did you find that like, did you cook a lot as a younger person? Did you find that you cooked more as a vegan or vegetarian? And now that you're no longer vegan, do you still cook a lot? Or
yeah, I think for a lot of people, veganism encourages them to cook because they have fewer options and they need to learn to take care of their own meals. So, and that's what happened to me. Except, I mean, when I was in the dorms, I didn't have a kitchen, so I was just eating in the dorms. But when I moved into the vegetarian co-op, the first thing we had labor, and so I signed up to cook because I wanted to learn to cook. And from then on, I was always into cooking, and when I was getting restaurant jobs, it was always in the kitchen. Mm. And, but yeah, even once I left veganism, I still mainly cook. I had a girlfriend for a while who loved to go out to eat, and so for that reason, I don't go out to eat a lot. But left to my own devices, I pretty much always cook still. Because now my diet's also a little weird as well. So,
right, yeah.
That might also be a reason.
McDonald's just isn't going to accommodate you.
We're glad to hear that.
That's true. When did you stop being vegan, and what was your reason for that?
I stopped being vegan around November of 2007. There's a few reasons that kind of built up, but the main one was that I started to feel unhealthy, and I had a roommate at the time who had been vegan. He was raised vegetarian, and I kind of got him to veganism because we met at the vegetarian co-op and he was vegetarian at the time. Mm-hmm. And but then later, when he moved to New York, he just quit veganism, and he started getting to Art Devaney and like the evolutionary, like the paleo diet.
Right, right.
And as a vegan, of course, I thought that it was grotesque about like all the meat and everything. But he would talk about it a lot, and it kind of like eventually started to persuade me a little bit. And one day I was cooking brown rice and red lentils and just feeling pretty terrible and not really looking forward to what I was about to eat. And it kind of came together for me that I thought he was right and that I would feel better if I stopped being vegan. But it was still a process to leave veganism. But there was another thing which I haven't really talked about on the blog, but I think I can talk about it on a podcast because it's not so easy to search. I had a friend who was vegan, who is still vegan, and he, at the time I was still vegan, he flew me to Tokyo to film him in a bunch of short films.
Okay.
He just had money to burn, basically, and he wanted to write some skits.
It's always nice to have friends like that.
Yeah. But he's been vegan for something like 25 years at this point, and it's like very much a huge part of his identity. Mm-hmm. And he just alienated so many people while I was there. Like, all these translators he hired, he would just offend them and always related to veganism. And it just started to really...
Like, he would go off on them for eating meat, or?
Yeah, basically, I mean, there's some long stories. Maybe I can summarize one. We were at Starbucks one time, he was looking at a sandwich, he saw that there was ham in it, and he, like, threw it across the Starbucks, basically, and disgusted, and that was with a different translator that he alienated. And I don't, there's just so much stuff like that. We were invited to some people's homes. It was on, Nagasaki Day.
Okay.
And they were, making food for us. We couldn't eat it because there was, like, fish sauce in it, and he was making a big deal about it. And, there was just so many circumstances where I just didn't want to be associated with him.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable.
Yeah.
That's poor behavior.
I really
vegans do not endorse that.
Yeah, I really don't like being associated with that kind of thing either.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. And also, he was tired all the time. Like, he would have to take... We would be out for a few hours filming, then he'd have to take a nap in the middle of the afternoon. And I was tired, too. And so that also kind of fed into my kind of being turned off to veganism. And so I think that made it easier for me when I was having health problems to be okay with leaving it. It was hard, though, because I still... thought it was wrong to eat animals, so I kind of had to talk myself into that being okay. So I read The Omnivore's Dilemma, and that was good enough at the time.
Obviously after 9 years, that's a really long time. Even after, a couple months or a couple years, your body will lose the ability to digest a lot of, meat and dairy and that sort of stuff. So did you have... Was it really, painful or weird for you to be eating that kind of stuff again?
There was no pain involved, but I think psychologically it was hard. I really had to ease myself into it, so I...
You didn't have any digestive problems with that sort of stuff?
No, and I've talked to a lot of ex... I've talked to a lot of ex-vegans, and they don't have that problem, most of them. Yeah, I think it's mainly just, you become so adverse to it psychologically. I mean, that's my thought.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is. But it is hard to start going back to eating animal products. I wanted to start with salmon, but just a pure chunk of salmon seemed too much for me, so I would try a salmon burger, but even that I couldn't get into, but eventually I was able to. And,
evidently.
Yeah.
You are still with us, so yeah.
Yeah. I think I do remember having my stomach hurting slightly one time early on.
Just but, once.
Yeah. But no physical problems, really.
So give us a nutshell description of your blog and, why you started it, what it covers.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Thinking about it now, it's really hard to say why I started. I'll start with the summary first. But even then, I'm not sure how to describe it. I mean, it's basically veganism through the point of view of an ex-vegan, and I just kind of do random articles. I do interviews with ex-vegans. I critique some vegan arguments, but mostly the more absurd ones, like humans are herbivores or, things like that. But why I started it, I don't know. I guess...
When did you start it?
I started it last summer.
Okay. So it's almost a year old now.
Yeah. I had the idea for it a while before that, but I held off because of my brother still being vegan and knowing he would not...
Did he go vegan before or after you?
He went after me.
Okay.
And that's actually...
Did you influence him? Or?
He said I did. Okay. Because he went vegetarian around the same time I did. But then I went vegan a year later, and he was lacto-ovo-vegetarian for a while after that. And then probably a few years before I quit veganism, he became vegan. Mm-hmm. And so that was actually, if that hadn't happened, I probably, not to blame him for the blog, but that is the reason I'm still interested in veganism post being vegan. Because after I left veganism, it became this... issue between us that was always kind of there. He said he felt like I had abandoned him, and we would end up arguing about it all the time, and so that got me, kind of kept it fresh in my mind. So I guess that's probably why I started the blog. I saw this as a conflict between us, and I mm-hmm. wanted to destroy this conflict.
Okay.
But of course, it's just making the conflict worse, so it didn't really work, I guess.
That is not what I. That's not what I would have guessed if you'd have asked me to guess what it was that had you think about starting the blog.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What would your guess have been?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I think I would have said something like, "You're probably a bit of a contrarian."
Yeah. Well.
Which it seems like, you know, and respectfully, because I'm a contrarian too. It seems like you probably are.
Yeah. No. I'm sure there's definitely something to that, because when I was vegan, I never would have started a blog about veganism, and now that I'm on the paleo diet, I never would do like a paleo blog. Mm-hmm. However, if I left paleo and like thought there was something seriously wrong with it, then maybe I would start a blog about it. I guess I have like strived to have weird opinions, but I don't think I'm a contrarian just for the sake of it. But yeah, I guess there is something in that in me. But I also don't like conflict for the most part. Mm. This is a bad blog for that.
I imagine.
But yeah, like reading the comments kind of stresses me out a lot. Cause yeah.
Well, we were looking at it today. You know, the most recent post has like 252 comments or something like that. That would tire anybody out. And I imagine not all of them agree with you.
Oh yeah, what's funny about them is that, yeah, I mean, most of them don't. I would say the commenters are split about 50-50,
okay.
like half vegan, half meat eaters. And mm-hmm. usually, a lot of times, they're not even really arguing with what I'm saying. It'll start with that, but then it'll just be the commenters arguing with each other.
Right. And, you see that happening.
Yeah. I pretty much try to stay out of the comments. I mean, I'll comment sometimes, but.
It's kind of a good rule of thumb. Well, that I never follow, yeah. to never read the comments.
Oh, yeah. I guess on your own blog, though, is that...
I guess I sometimes ignore the comments on my blog.
On your blog, and kind of, like, I don't know about Jordan, but when I first became aware of it, it was because we're both registered on Post-Punk Kitchen, and someone on there was like, oh, check out this crazy blog, and it seems like you use a lot of quotes from the Post-Punk Kitchen and a lot of other vegan message boards, and... at least the, you know, our interpretation of it, and definitely the people that you quoted felt like you took a lot of things out of context or took comments that were meant to be sarcastic and kind of presented them as earnest. So we were just kind of wondering if you knowingly take it out of context or are you not aware of the...
I definitely don't knowingly take sarcastic comments and post them earnestly or, you know, present them earnestly. I have taken comments that I think are just funny and that I, not like, haha, look at what this person's saying, but just like, this is actually a funny comment. And that hopefully that's like sarcastic comments you're referring to. I'm not sure.
I think it can be really hard to tell. I think sometimes the tone, especially when, because some of your posts are just a comment and, you know, an attribute and then that's it. And it can be hard to tell. There have been a few, I can't think of any specific examples off the top of my head, but I know there have been some where I've kind of been like, either he's being a complete jerk to this person or he understands the humor and is kind of...
I'd like to think I understand the humor because someone commented on one of my comments. She was the one who wrote it. She was like, you know I was joking, right? And I said, yes, I thought it was funny. But, I mean, yeah, you can't really tell because it is just the quote. And as far as taking quotes out of context, I don't think I've changed the meaning on any of the quotes. At least I don't mean to. But I do kind of tighten them up because I'll see something that I think is interesting in it, but it'll be kind of cluttered from my point of view to, like, there's, like, this jewel in it that I'm trying to get to.
And
I definitely don't try to change the meaning of it. Someone commented once saying they thought that I did change the meaning. So I'm sure it's seen that way sometimes, but it's not what I'm trying to do.
That is interesting to know, because like I said, it can be hard to gauge the tone, especially since the general tone of the blog is, I mean, at least to me, it seems really adversarial, and not necessarily in a bad way, but it seems like, it just kind of seems like in that context, any quote that you take from a vegan will kind of be like this is wrong.
I see what you mean, and I realized that more when I went to like another ex-vegan blog, And he was just an entry about how he was a raw foodist and now he's like a hunter. And there was just tons and tons of positive comments, and they were like, oh, you know, thank you for telling us your journey. You're so honest and all this stuff. And I realized his tone, it was totally different than mine. I mean, he was just very straightforwardly saying what he went through and why he's doing this. And
right.
That's very different from what I do. And so I think a lot of times I don't realize I'm being as adversarial as I actually am.
Mm-hmm. I'm relieved to hear that you appreciate the sense of humor that is in a lot of these quotes. And you're kind of laughing with us and not
right.
at us. And I think the problem I see is that when you're laughing with us, I think most of your readers are going to be laughing at us.
Yeah, that might be true. And I guess also another thing is that a lot of the quotes that might be laugh at quotes, I'm not saying laugh at this person, or, but it's more like this is what happens when you're vegan, like just various situations where you're alienated and so on. It's not like this person is doing something silly, but this person is doing something because they're vegan, and I did the same thing when I was vegan, although of course that doesn't come across at all in the quotes, which one thing I was thinking about doing was trying to tie the quotes into my own veganism and like comment on how I would have said or done something similar, but I actually pretty much have stopped quoting. I've totally stopped quoting the Post Punk Kitchen because Miles said that would make him happy.
Okay.
So, so
that's an act of brotherly love.
Yeah.
Though kind of too bad because there was, I think, a meat bait post a while ago.
Oh, but yeah, I've seen some threads. Actually, there was one thread that I really wanted to quote. This is before I stopped quoting. But then my brother wrote, oh, you know, Reese is bound to quote this. And I was like, oh, I can't quote it.
Yeah.
What was it? Can you?
It was a thread about people wondering whether they were ever going to leave veganism.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I found it fascinating. Because, I mean, I never thought I was going to leave veganism, and most people eventually do never did think that they would either. I mean, people don't think they're going to change for the most part because you can only see things from your own perspective at that moment.
It's true. How much time do you spend reading these message boards and things like that you quote? Because I know there has been confusion in the past with other people who kind of trawl the vegan internet for gems where they've mistaken posts that were written either in jest or by a fake profile as being kind of a genuine thing.
Right.
My husband is a good example. I think he has something like 35 profiles on the TBK.
Oh, really?
if you've ever read anything by Butterfly Vegan, then that's him.
Yeah.
And I believe that Butterfly Vegan has been quoted on several occasions.
Not on my blog.
No, not by you.
But possibly in the Vegetarian Myth.
Yes, and and I think a few other things as well. I can't really remember, but though you have posted a picture of my husband on the blog, and he was not very pleased about that.
Well, keep in mind, not every picture I posted was of a sickly vegan.
No, he's not a sickly vegan.
Okay. Yeah, because a lot of them, I would take photos at. And I don't do this anymore for the blog, but I used to take photos at vegan events, and not all of them were examples of sickly vegans. Some were just like I was writing about the food that was at the event and that sort of thing.
I think so, he was in the background of a sickly vegan picture.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
he would not have been pegged as a sickly vegan, I don't think.
Right. What I should have done with that is just because I was a sickly vegan by the end, or I had some very sickly vegan photos of myself, and I did post those, but then I thought, well, now that I posted these of myself, then I can take photos of other people, and but that was a bad idea.
I was pleased to see that you'd stopped doing it, just because I thought that it kind of took away from what are some legitimate points that you make, because it was just kind of a cheap shot.
You know, you're an ex-vegan, and I guess when I first, you know, when I read your blog before meeting you, I thought that your blog was kind of about hating on veganism or making fun of veganism, but after talking with you for a while, I kind of, you know, I'm realizing that it's more about looking at veganism from a different perspective, and certainly learning that you're laughing with some of the quotes and not at some of the quotes changed my perspective on that. But it is still something that's kind of in your past.
Right.
Do you think it's odd that you're focused on something that you're no longer doing, or that's no longer part of your life?
Well, I mean, I think it would be more odd if I'd never been vegan, mm-hmm. to have a blog like this.
Sure, fair enough.
And I, like I said before, I don't think I would be doing this blog if it weren't for my brother still mm-hmm. being vegan. So it's still, in that sense, to me, not really in my past, because I kind of see him in some regard, because I helped him become vegan, mm-hmm. as kind of my veganism still being alive.
I see.
And well. And I think it's probably working better for him than it did for me. I mean, he's totally healthy, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to say, like, he shouldn't be vegan, but obviously that's still kind of motivating me in my anti-veganism. But is it weird? I guess maybe, but...
it just seems to me like it would take a lot of energy to focus on right. something that's not really a part of your life anymore.
No, it's true. I mean, there's a lot of times where I just wish I didn't care about uh-huh. veganism at all anymore. And sometimes I don't. But actually, this trip, I've kind of forgotten about it just because I haven't been working on the blog. I think working on the blog kind of gets me thinking about it more in that... so it's kind of... perpetuates itself that way. But yeah, there's other projects I would rather be doing, like there's screenplays I want to write, but mm-hmm. for some reason I feel like I have to get this out of my system, I guess. I don't know, but it wasn't really in my system right after I left veganism, because it was only like kind of these arguments with my brother over time, like, because I left veganism towards the end of 2007, and it was only 2009 when I started right. thinking about doing this blog. Mm-hmm. So there was a period where I pretty much didn't care about veganism mm-hmm. at all, and it just kind of, I don't know, it was just the issues with, again, this isn't Miles' fault, this blog right. exists, but...
Yeah. Would you entertain the thought of having Miles be a guest blogger, or...?
I would, but I think he's totally opposed to
okay.
that. I mean, he wants nothing to do with the blog, and I think he doesn't really read it.
Uh-huh.
I think he's read some of it, but I'm pretty sure he's not a regular reader. And he doesn't like to talk about it at all. He won't talk about veganism with me anymore.
Huh. Do you guys always just kind of end up deadlocked, or...
Yeah,
a repeating loop of the same arguments over and over?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we would have just endless email arguments, and mm-hmm. they would just go nowhere.
So. Have you ever thought about just duking it out?
He would probably win.
I mean, well, score one for veganism.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's pretty ripped doing trapeze, and as when we were kids, like, he was kind of... I mean, he was always smaller than me, but he was, I guess, the violent one, or like maybe the strong one. Like, I would try to, like,
sure,
like, play mean mind games on him, uh-huh. and he would just, like, whip me with a belt.
Wow.
I mean, he's...
Sight of Miles we've never seen.
I know.
But he's totally non-violent now, of course. But...
If you say so.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to risk it.
Sure.
Right, right. I asked. I'm the oldest of, well, three or two full siblings and two other half siblings. So I'm the oldest of five, and most of our problems have been resolved by fighting, like physically fighting.
I'm the only child. I feel like I'm missing out on some severe violence.
Yeah, no, I'm lucky because my sister is smaller than me. My brother is bigger and can beat me up, but generally doesn't anymore. But then again, he's vegan as well, so.
Okay, is that the only other vegan in your family?
No, I'm vegan. My sister is vegetarian with pretty strong vegan tendencies. And then my brother's vegan. My stepmom is vegan. And my mom she's pretty close to vegan. Like, she doesn't tolerate dairy very well. We used to be like, I mean, I grew up a very standard Canadian diet, kind of, maybe not quite as much crap as other people, but we ate quite a bit of meat growing up, and now when the family's together, we don't eat meat really at all, because the only person who eats it is my mom and sometimes her boyfriend, and they always feel sad because the vegan food is better because we're all better cooks. So.
Well, that's nice that there's no family conflicts over it.
It is the weirdest thing in my family is my vegan stepmom actually raises her two kids not vegan, and not just not vegan, but like on McDonald's and pizza pockets and
it's
stuff
very
like
unusual.
That. Yeah, it's really weird. So that was a little bit weird, but I mean, it was one of those things where it wasn't really my job to say anything, so I didn't really, and except for the one time that I blew the little ones, she was 4. And I blew her mind by telling her that not everybody thinks that milk is good for you. Mm. And she was just like the look on her face, it was like her brain had exploded. It was very funny. But then when she went and told her mom that she didn't want to drink milk anymore because she didn't have to, then her mom told her that she did have to drink milk.
Her vegan mom.
Yeah. So I guess that's a little weird.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
It's unusual.
Yeah.
Why is her mom vegan?
Well, she's interestingly enough, she's an XX vegan. She went vegan first quite a while ago. She had an eating disorder and she went vegetarian and then vegan. And I believe she was into macrobiotic stuff as well for a while. And then she got treatment for her eating disorder and she gave up veganism. I don't know if she went back to eating meat. She might have started eating some fish. And then after several years of being not vegan anymore, then she just decided she wanted to be vegan again. And she's been vegan now, I think, 5 years? Something like that. So it's weird. I think, you know, I really don't know what she's thinking. I can't even pretend to try, so.
Yeah, it just seems weird. It's like an omnivore raising their kid vegan. I mean, it's just...
The thing that really bothers me is that, and I'm sure that it would bother you as well, is like, I mean, she has this, she thinks that veganism is, you know, a very healthy way to be, and she's, you know, like, she cooks a lot, she makes good, nutritious food, but she really makes an effort to, like, separate the kids' food from other people's food, like my food or her food or my brother's food or whatever. She's like, you know, this is for us, and this is fine for us, but you eat the pizza pops, and it's like... it just seems like a really weird kind of cognitive dissonance to be like, well, I won't put that crap in my body,
right.
But here, my 4-year-old, light of my life child, have it.
And then when they get older, then maybe they're allowed to be vegan?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like she's almost discouraging them from ever wanting to be, which means maybe they'll rebel and be vegan, which would be great, except that in our family, it wouldn't be that much of a rebellion. Something that we were talking about when we were talking about interviewing you is that really, I think probably in a lot of ways, you have a lot more in common with vegans than you do with people who eat a standard American diet, because you obviously think about your food and you think about the implications of what you eat. A lot of people just don't think at all. I'm sure that you've heard it. I know that we have. Oh, I don't even want to know what goes into this thing that I'm eating. So I guess given that, and we've addressed this a little bit already, but the tone of your blog is pretty confrontational. And I know that sometimes it's more the people that you're interviewing or whatever, but also the choice of people that you're interviewing says something about your ideas and everything else. So it seems like in a lot of ways we're probably fighting the same kind of fight, which is we want people to at least think about it. I know that even as a, you know, fascist vegan, I can definitely respect somebody who has an ideology behind what they eat and who has considered it more than I can respect somebody who just says, well, if God didn't want me to eat meat, why did he make it so tasty?
Right.
Something like that. So do you think that the tone of your blog is effective at getting people to, on both sides of the vegan fence, to think about what they eat and the implications?
Yeah, I think so. Someone... recently, actually, the person I interviewed recently, when she linked to her interview, she was saying that my blog makes vegans uncomfortable, but also makes people who've never really thought about food uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's confrontational in multiple ways, and it's a good point when you say that I relate more to vegans than people who've never thought about it, because a while ago someone emailed me who was just a non-vegan, and he sent me this kind of scattered essay he wrote on his experiences living, he lived with a bunch of vegans somewhere. It was some weird situation. And he was critiquing veganism, and he wanted me to post it. And I wrote back that, you've never been vegan. You don't understand, man. Like, he was an outsider trying to comment on these things. And the way I reacted to him made me realize that I guess I still feel kind of vegan in a way, or
that's interesting.
Still kind of in that. For instance, I kind of consider my blog to be almost a vegan blog. Obviously, not a pro vegan blog, but it's in the vegan blog genre. So I kind of see myself along with, you know, vegan.com or Vegan Soapbox or like all of those, or Vegan Source. Mm-hmm. I would certainly like for my blog to get people to think about food, whether they're vegan or not. And even though I mainly talk about veganism, I don't talk about alternatives for the most part. But I do believe that that's important too. And I do talk about it sometimes. But that's just not the angle I've chosen to take. But yeah, I see it as hopefully a helpful blog in some way. I'm not always sure how it's helping, but I think, hey, maybe it's forcing vegans to like make their argument stronger. That's what I have a vegan friend that I visited in Toronto, and he was theoretically into the blog because of that. Like, it'll just force people to respond to these things. And
yeah, I have to say, like, the things that make me the maddest when I read your blog and why I don't read it regularly is not necessarily the things that you say. It's more, I got really pissed off at I believe she was Canadian, the ex-vegan.
Kylie, yeah.
Yeah, who basically, she'd conflated eating disorders and veganism pretty badly, I thought. And people play the eating disorder card on vegans a lot, and it just kind of gets tiresome, especially with...
Yeah, I mean, my experience with veganism, like, I don't think I had an eating disorder. Most of the vegans that I knew didn't have an eating disorder. I know one vegan now who does, but, I mean, I think...
It's something that I think is really frustrating to vegans as well. You know, like, I don't think anybody looks at a person who goes vegan in furtherance of their eating disorder and says, right on, you know, like, thank you for joining our movement and making us stronger.
Totally. Yeah, you know. And, like, the people who post on the Post-Punk Kitchen, they're saying, like, they want help with the eating disorder. Like, it's not like, yes, veganism is my cover, and it's a problem that they're dealing with.
And to be fair, occasionally they came to veganism that way, and some people have had very positive experiences where being vegan and kind of working on their eating disorder while being vegan and learning how to re-relate to food and having kind of an ethical framework behind their eating has actually really helped them overcome their eating disorders. And I moderate the forum, so I have to deal with a lot of those eating disorder posts and disappear a lot of them. So it's because it's triggering to people, and not because we're fascists, though we get accused of being fascists often. The thing that bothers me is just when the two are conflated. They're separate issues, I think.
She said that something about eating disorders being the program, or veganism being the program for eating disorders, something like that. Yeah, I guess that was pretty harsh. I try to, because I do edit the interviews, I try to take out the most, I guess, extreme stuff, or the stuff that will go across the worst, I think. Right. But I guess I kind of missed that.
Well, I mean, she's entitled to her opinion, I suppose. I mean, that's kind of the platform for it. I would be a lot more angry if she were to come to a vegan website and start proselytizing or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, after talking with you, I've really kind of, like, I've got a whole different perspective on how you approach the blog, and, you know, you say you wanted it to be the perspective of an ex-vegan on veganism. What kind of tone do you want to take with the blog, and what is your ultimate goal? Like, what kind of impact do you want the blog to have on people? Do you want everyone to stop being vegan, or what kind of things do you hope to accomplish through the blog?
Yeah, I don't know, because there's a lot of people who, if they stop being vegan, I think I would be kind of sad about it. Like, I interviewed Jed Gillen, the guy who wrote Obligate Carnivore, and I would love to do an ex-vegan interview with him, but I also kind of like that he's vegan, because it's such a weird fit with his personality. Like, but he believes in it so much that I kind of hope he's vegan forever, but And also maybe with my brother, I can't really imagine him eating meat. There's, you know, obviously conflicts between us because of this, but I also kind of like that he's vegan, and it kind of makes me feel proud a little bit because I know I influenced it, mm-hmm. even though now I don't think, you know, that's the best idea. So I don't know, I have a lot of mixed feelings about it, but I guess if there's a purpose to the blog, it's probably to make it easier for people who are having problems with veganism to leave it, I guess.
Okay.
But I don't really know. I mean, I also just like breaking down these arguments that I once believed in so completely and just like re-examining them and why don't I feel this way anymore. And sometimes I still think, oh, it's weird to eat meat. Like, uh-huh. just every once in a while I'll be like, whoa. Like, but most of the time, not. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's such a strong mentality that, I mean, it becomes such a big part of you. I guess I just like examining it and getting feedback on that, and I guess it's an exploration. Sure. I'm not sure, maybe that's a cop-out, or... I mean, I probably am trying to influence people, I'm sure. There's probably some people that I wish would not be vegan anymore, some people that I think it's great that they're vegan.
Who are the people that, like, what kind of people do you wish would not be vegan anymore?
I guess the people who do... who physically do bad on it and whose personalities change for the worse because of it, I would say, because my friend who kind of, from Tokyo, but I think he would be better off not as a vegan, but I also cannot imagine that because it's such a huge part of him. But I think there are some people that clearly veganism reacts badly with them, mm-hmm. either physically or because of with their personality. And so those people, I would say, I wish they would not be vegan, but then there's other people like Jed that I think are probably better people because of it, so.
Would you ever consider interviewing vegans for your blog? I mean, you do ex-vegans, so given that it's an ex-vegan's perspective on veganism, that seems to be a logical step.
I have interviewed...
I mean, besides...
Two vegans.
Yeah,
I've interviewed...
But clarify, in more of a... Like, kind of more as a counterpoint to the interviews with ex-vegans.
Just
interviews
almost like,
with vegans kind of thing.
Almost like half and half.
Yeah, or not like even necessarily, fire. But
right.
not even necessarily, but it seems like the vegans that you've interviewed, it's been kind of for an auxiliary purpose, or like
right.
they've been interviewed because of something that they've
right.
done specifically, like
right, right.
like
write a book
obligatory.
That I liked.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I would like to interview more vegans. I've planned on doing it. I have still some vegan friends who said that they would be interviewed. Actually, an ex-girlfriend who's still vegan once said she would interview me, that I could interview her after I interviewed a few other vegans. Mm-hmm. So I might still, take her up on that. And then I have another friend who offered, but then changed her mind. Actually, she's in San Francisco. I'll probably see her next couple of days. Maybe I can ask her about it. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of vegan bloggers I could probably interview. No, that's a good idea. I will start doing more vegan
awesome.
Interviews.
I feel that we've affected true change today,
yeah.
Jordan.
Yeah, I think so.
And you can interview us if you ever want to.
Sure,
yeah.
I mean, if this hasn't been enough.
Yeah.
You know, me regurgitating my family history.
Yeah. Okay, I will.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks
Thank
for coming
on.
Much. Yeah,
we're very glad we had the opportunity to sit down. It was actually... very enlightening conversation.
Yeah, it was. So hopefully this will show some people that not all vegans are crazy assholes, and but not everybody who's not a vegan is also not necessarily a crazy asshole.
Yeah.
So.
We hope you enjoyed that interview with Reese Southern of Let Them Eat Meat. Up next, in the grand episode 38 tradition of outsourcing our job of entertaining you to somebody else, we asked our good friend Mike Thorne, a photographer, a football hooligan, and future podcaster, we hope to have more on that endeavor on our blog soon, to send us a dispatch on his recent visit to the San Francisco Tea Party protest in Union Square. Now beware, this recording is a little bit dodgy because he did it in his car, but we think it gets the point across. Enjoy.
If there's one thing I enjoy, it's comedy. And this is the reason why I went to the Tea Party protest at Union Square in downtown San Francisco. I realized that it would probably be a little awkward protest given the general political climate of San Francisco. Most of my long-held beliefs about who would be attending were confirmed. You mostly had people from Hayward and Petaluma and Pleasanton. You know, the overarching feeling that I got was a lot of fear, a lot of frustration, and a lot of people looking for someone to blame. While I recognize that a lot of this is quite obvious, it was at times a bit almost heartbreaking. You see, I feel like a lot of the people who attended this particular Tea Party protest, it was people who thought they could have this illustrious American dream that is sort of piped down to all of us from the time of our birth, about owning their own home, owning property, et cetera, et cetera, and how that's supposed to afford you some degree of long-term financial safety and comfort. So when you paired with that dream getting stripped away from you, and you mix in a healthy diet or unhealthy diet of fear mongers on television pointing the fingers and telling you who did this and why they did this and how everything's headed for a fascist slash socialist slash communist America, you just had a lot of very confused and very scared people. I mean, of course, there were the people, your general guys, your general populace of hard right-wingers, or just kind of overall dicks, you know, who would insist on engaging arguments with people who came to dispute them or came to try to figure out why that they were there and what exactly they were there for. Who would say things like, you know, well, wait till you get a real job, as though, you know, someone's job, if they don't make, you know, $250,000 a year or $100,000 a year, or just some job that isn't theirs isn't quite, quote-unquote, real. There was no singular objective to anyone's statements. In general, it was just sort of like, I think the best descriptor of it is it's akin to a toddler throwing a total tantrum in the middle of a grocery store because it's not able to get some sugary sweet because things suddenly aren't going their way. Rather than do something productive or sitting back and actually taking the time to analyze why the situation is the situation, instead you have a maelstrom of a general shit fit of educated, sort of educated, at least on paper, upper middle class white folks who suddenly feel like their lot is suddenly turned against them. And I say all this not to add any sympathy to their plight, necessarily. I mean, sure, it sucks to have your home ripped away from you, and it sucks to feel marginalized in some ways, but at the same time, when you control everything, the sentiment of marginalization just doesn't come across too powerful. Anyways, basically, yeah, it was funny. You even had a crazy woman who talked about how a year ago she had $700,000 in her bank account, and now she has $400,000, and how her home was taken away from her, and how she used to be a car dealer, and how she now is a garbage woman, and how she's proud to be a garbage woman. And then she insisted that they need to vote everyone out of office come the fall, and if the voting doesn't work, then she will take them out with bullets. Which is, on one hand, funny, but on the other hand, kind of creepy, one might say. You know, there's not really much to report that most people wouldn't already know, but it's interesting going and watching a general spasm of terror manifesting itself, especially one that is basically calling for states' rights that was held on a square celebrating the dominance of federal power as well as the union, especially given, you know, the context of recent Tea Party stuff where they are calling for the secession of Texas and so on and so forth. I could go into for a while about racialist elements, but some of that stuff is too obvious. Some of that stuff is, on some degree, I think, marginal. Not marginal, but more subdued racialism. Anyways, signing off, Thorn.
that's it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening to the Cosmopolitan Hour. You can check us out on Twitter at the Cosmo Hour Pod, online at www.thecosmopolitanhour.com, or send us email at thecosmopolitanhour@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll be back next week with episode 39.